Yeah.
Welcome back to another episode of SMC Unfiltered. Thank you guys for joining us today. And today I'm joined by the amazing Dream.
Hi, everyone.
Do you want to introduce yourself? Maybe like give your perspective of how we met and like how you got here today?
Yeah, sure. So hi, everyone. My name is Dream. I'm a first year medical student at Queen's University. Just started this year. I did health sciences at Queen's before that through the QRNS program, which is the Accelerated Route to Medicine program. I met Eli in grade 11 through the University of Toronto Summer Mentorship Program. Gag of the century is we didn't actually talk that much during the program.
Yep.
But after the fact, he knew who I was, I guess, and I knew who he was. So, you know, just started talking. And yeah, now we're here, what, like 5 years later?
Yeah.
Wow.
Actually insane.
Crazy.
But you recently like posted on your LinkedIn, and like we've been back and forth talking obviously about how school's going, and like you recently posted about the fact that you were thinking about whether or not to like accept and go make your journey into med school, and you ended up deciding to do so this year. And so I'm super proud of you. That's really big jump, and you worked super hard to get here in the first place. And so I wanted to ask you a couple questions for, because you're representing, and just so our viewers have some background and can maybe learn from your journey and like take little bits and pieces. So I have, my first question is more of like your personal background, inspiration. What inspired you to pursue medicine, and how did that journey start for you?
Yeah, so growing up as a kid, I was just always really interested in science and law were the two things for me. I was that kid who used to like watch those Wildcats kind of scientific shows and then would apply it randomly in the house for no damn reason. But I think growing up for me, it was always either law or medicine, just because, like I said, those are the two things I was interested in the most. And then what ended up happening was in grade 9, one of my closest friends got diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is a type of cancer that attacks your lymph nodes, basically weakens your immune system, all the whole nine. And I remember I was really close to her. I'm still really close to her. So I used to go to the hospital to see her at SickKids. I would be on FaceTime with her during her chemotherapy treatments. And along the way, I saw the role that doctors played in helping her, but also the role that they played in initially dismissing her symptoms. Her mom really had to advocate for her to even get chemotherapy and for them to actually realize it was cancer. Mm-hmm. So in also wanting to learn more about what her cancer was, I discovered that plastic surgeons in particular play a really big role in helping cancer patients, burn victims, the whole nine. And for me, it's also, I have a really big passion for art. I love drawing. I love painting. I'm a nail tech. So I love having that opportunity to really do anything artistic. And I think plastic surgery is definitely an artistic specialty. They work everywhere on the body. A lot of different types of procedures. It's never the same thing. So it's really right up my alley, combining both my passion for medicine and my love for art.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I like, shout out Nails by Dream. Follow on Instagram. Like I've been seeing like this type of stuff that you've been creating, and like it's amazing, and it's so cool to hear like your background, because I see how like passionate you are, and I see like the effects of it, but like to hear how you got here, that's really cool as well.
Thank you.
And so what's something you learned about yourself through your journey at Queen's?
I think for me, Queen's has really taught me to authentically be myself, regardless of what anybody has to say. Because the reality is, when you come to university, you encounter a lot of people. They don't always have the same belief systems as you, which is perfectly fine. And sometimes that can manifest in different ways. For me, it was me realizing that, hey, I need to find people that were more aligned with me in terms of my goals and were also more supportive of me, as opposed to that not being supportive aspect. So I think Queen's definitely taught me about that. And it also taught me to not base my worth in grades, for lack of a better phrase. I feel like when you come to university or in a program like health sciences or life sciences, you feel this pressure to not just succeed, but to excel. So it's like sometimes you base your worth too much in that 90%. If you don't have that 90%, it's like, oh, am I actually doing well? But I think Queen's has definitely taught me that not having a 90% doesn't mean you're any less capable. It doesn't make you a worse doctor. And also just to find people who will reinforce that and will also be there for you when you are going through those times.
Yeah, support system is so important. And like, you're like number one cheerleader. I was like listening to your podcast and like the way that your friends talk about you, like you're very uplifting and a very positive person. And that's like part of the reason why I wanted to have you on here, is because you're like a great role model for people to look up to. And
thank you.
The next question I have for you is, do you feel like you were prepared for med school by your teaching as an experience? Like, from obviously it just started, but like from what you've experienced so far, like, did you feel equipped and supported in what you're doing right now?
Yeah. So I think in terms of my degree, I did health sciences before I started at med school. And honestly, everything that I've done in med school so far has been my health sciences degree. So it's definitely been useful in helping me be more prepared for the types of content I encounter. The thing about med is that even though the content is similar, though, it's definitely faster paced. So you're learning like a module a day and you're like, oh, that was quick. So I think getting adjusted to that was a big thing for me. But the bigger aspect of what helped me feel prepared was more so having my mentors, upper years that I could ask questions, having friends in med school and also out of med school who can just reground me and bring me back to home base when I feel overwhelmed was really important for me, especially in the beginning because I was kind of going through it a few days in. So I think it's that preparation before academically is important, but again, it comes back around to that support system of people. And you're actually one of those people. So, you know, like you're really supportive, Eli. Like, I remember I'd be going through it and you're just like, you got this, Jeep. And I'm like, oh, okay, thank you.
It's okay to lose it sometimes.
Yeah, and like, genuinely.
It's very socially acceptable to lose it. But just like, I don't know, the way that you do it, I always look up to. And you do it. Like, you make it work. And that's, it's really commendable.
Thank you. I feel like it always works out. It's just in the moment, you don't know how it's going to work out. So that's where the stress comes into play. But, you know, staying grounded, I think, in the things that make you happy outside of med school is also really important, I think. So if that's art, soccer, I don't know, dance, anything along those lines. So making sure that you have those hobbies outside just really brings you back to home base. It makes you have a life outside of medicine.
For sure. It's like, I feel like that's, people work so hard and forget why they're doing things. Mm-hmm. And like, obviously, for some people, it's to have a better life. For some people, it's money. For some people, it's like, but I think for the majority of people, it's like that quality of life. Mm-hmm. And you have to enjoy that along the journey as well.
So yeah, exactly.
It's good to hear that you like are tapping into your support system so that you can like actually be present and enjoy the moment too.
You're still a person, you know? So
And you worked hard to get here, so you should enjoy it as well.
Exactly. Might as well enjoy the experience, right?
For sure. I had my next question was being in a predominantly white and male dominated field, what challenges or like moments of empowerment have like stood out to you?
Yeah. So I think going into med, I kind of knew that's the space that I would be in. For me, it's also nothing new. I've attended predominantly white institutions my entire life. Most of the things that I've done have been predominantly white or predominantly male dominated. So it's nothing new, but I think the most empowering thing for me is always finding somebody in the field who's doing what I want to do, and then it's being able to talk to them. So for me, I found my mentor in plastics when I was in grade 12. Plug of the century, she's a plastic surgeon. Her two brothers are also plastic surgeons. They're 3 out of the 7 Black plastic surgeons in Canada. And she's obviously one of the few women in the field as well that's a Black woman. So I reached out to her and her brother on LinkedIn, actually. And lo and behold, they let me come into their clinic in Newmarket and let me see it and everything. And I think for me, that moment was very defining in showing me that even though we don't currently inhabit the space, we can. And we can do so and be successful in it, you know? So I think it's very important to have those role models, to have those people in the field. I think when you're going for something that may not be what's traditional, you know, what traditionally looks like you, it's important to find people that you can look up to and ask for support, because the last thing you want to be doing is going through that on your own.
Representation matters.
And it definitely does.
Yeah. How can you do it if you haven't seen it? And you're you're one of those people. Like, you're one of those people to look up to. And like I said, I'm glad that mm-hmm. you're able to have this platform, because and if you feel comfortable, have people like ask you questions, because that representation does matter. And I hear yeah. people talking about every day, like, oh, I never see anyone like me, like mm-hmm. doing this thing. Like, and as I go up the ranks and as I'm like getting closer and closer to my goal, I see less mm-hmm. and less people like me. So like, to see your story and like feel and understand like the background of how you got to where you are is like super important. And I mm-hmm. wanted to give you the chance to like express how great you are, like, to these people as well.
I think you hype me up
a lot. No, I'm like, you, I'm hype. I'm, that's all this is I'm just gonna
oh be hyping gosh. You up
for the next little bit. So,
well, I think for me, something that's always been important to be able to give back, like, any scholarship they ask me, what do you want to do in the future? It's like, yeah, I want to be successful, but my idea of success isn't just like, one thing I base my life around is one of my, what I call my pillars. So my three pillars for anything I do is legacy, advocacy, and involvement. Advocacy, involvement, pretty self-explanatory. But my idea of legacy is really based on a quote by Maya Angelou that says, your legacy is every life you've touched. So for me, I don't want to build a legacy that's based on fame or how many people know me. I want my legacy to be based on impact and mm-hmm. being able to touch people. So for me, it's like, I see myself in the future, like, doing those scholarships with people, having those mentorship roles, like, that's really what I want it to be, because I want to be able to represent in the field, but I also want to be able to give youth like me and youth who just didn't have those kinds of representation or that opportunity, the chance to have somebody that really supports them, you know?
I love that Maya Angelou quote, because my mom also mentioned that, like, impact is always a two-way street. Mm. Like, you learn from the experiences that you go through, and every person that you touch, every person that you help out, you become a better person. You get to see their perspective on things. Like, there's never any, I guess, downside to putting yourself out there and mm-hmm. to doing what you know is right and impacting people. And like, you're doing that. So that's so cool. Academic strategies. What resources and strategies helped you succeed through potentially like challenging moments in your education?
Yeah. I kind of talked about this on Instagram a bit, but I think one thing that really helped me was redefining why I'm studying. So when I first entered medical school, it was like 3 days in, I was sitting in the med building and I was studying, and I was like, can I actually do this? Like, can I actually, this is a lot. Can I actually do this? It's only been 3 days.
I have that moment like twice a day.
See? And it was only like 3 days in, and I was like, oh my gosh, is nobody else going through this? Is it just me? Like, and I was like, can I actually do this? And I think my mom definitely knew I was going through it, because mm-hmm. I was on the phone with her, and yeah, I was definitely going through it. She was asking my friends if I was okay. But basically, I think for me, it was realizing that, like, I think when you strive for medical school, you spend your time in undergrad studying for the sake of getting into medical school, mm-hmm. such to the point that it's your reason, it's your drive. So once you're actually in the space, nobody talks about how to really like reframe that frame of mind when you get there. But I think it's changing the reason that you're studying from just, oh, I'm studying for the sake of getting into medical school, to for the sake of my future patients, for the sake of myself as a doctor, to show up for myself, mm-hmm. you know? So I think once you reframe the reason why you're studying, it becomes a lot more impactful for you, but it also gives you that motivation to study beyond just like, hey, I want to pass, you know? Sure. So, and medicine is pass fail, right? So mm-hmm. like, you need to have a bigger motivation for it than just like, hey, I want a good grade, you know?
Yeah. It's easy to forget why you do things on a daily basis. And like, we were even talking a little bit about that outside. Mm-hmm. Like, you just kind of forget.
Yeah.
Especially, it's easier to just go through the day to day passively, but if you can keep that drive, if you can keep the dream alive, no pun intended, but yeah,
it's
important.
No, I agree. I definitely agree. I think we forget why we're doing things. And that's why, like, a lot of people, sometimes they'll get to a certain spot and they'll be successful, mm-hmm. but they won't feel happy. And it's like, along the way, you can't sacrifice your happiness to the point where, like, you're basing your entire what happiness and what joy means to you based on that success, right? You need to have that reason, you know?
100%. And identifying that reason is very hard. And you have to, take the time to, like, piece together your psyche to figure out why you're doing what you're doing. But it's important.
Yeah. And it's going to change. It's going to change 100%, like many times. It's probably going to change again in the future. But like, you know, it's just being adaptable and flexible with that.
For sure. Mental health. What's your approach to balancing school mental health and your personal life?
Yeah. So balance. I would say there's never a point where it's like always perfectly balanced. There's definitely going to be times where you're feeling more overwhelmed, you're feeling more underwhelmed, all the above. I think the most important thing is really just to prioritize the self-care in it all, though. The reality is the work will get done 100%, but you can't be sacrificing your mental health at the expense of the work. Because if you're not good, how are you supposed to be good for anybody else, let alone your schoolwork, right? So I think for me, it's having outlets. So I'm on my school's dance team. That team brings me so much peace. Like, I remember 2 weeks ago, I had an exam on the Monday. We had practice on the Sunday, and I was studying on the Sunday, and I was like, oh my gosh, will I even be able to go to practice tonight? I went to practice because I'm so sorry. I need my peace. And practice just brought me so much peace and so much joy that after, when I was going, getting ready for bed to prep for the exam and whatever, whatever, I was just so calm. So I think it's having that balance of like, yeah, I need to study, but I need to take care of my mental health and do things I enjoy. Not that I don't enjoy medicine, but I enjoy outside of medicine.
100%. And setting that boundary and like making sure that you give that to yourself, because oftentimes, like, I think the things that we need the most are the things we sacrifice first. Mm-hmm. Being a student, like, I'm like, oh, I don't need sleep that much. Yeah. Oh, actually, I don't need to see my friends. I'm fine, like, locking myself in the library. Like, those things are the things that you need to be sane and to be a whole person. Mm-hmm. And just making sure that you don't sacrifice those.
Yeah.
Really important.
Emphasis on the sleep, guys.
Get sleep, please.
I stress that. Get sleep, please.
6 to 8.
At least 8. What do you mean 6 to 8? At least 8.
More, like, I don't know. I can't be a hypocrite. Like, I 6 to 8.
I mean, I try to get 8. Do I always get 8? No.
Probably, but, not.
Like, but I try.
It's okay. Okay. Are there any role models or mentors that have helped you or guided you to this point? I think you kind of mentioned on it.
Yeah. Before. I think my mom is also a really big mentor for me. I love her. She's amazing. Of course, I'm gonna hype her up. She's my mom, but like, I think one thing for me is that she's always really stressed growing up that like the worst thing somebody can say is no, and a no never killed anybody. So do it anyway and try.
I heard
it anyway.
Her say that. I swear, I've heard her say that. You've before.
Definitely. She's it's like her mantra, bro. And I think it's just something I've really applied to my entire life, because I've even had friends tell me, like, Dream, how do you just do stuff? And I'm like, the worst thing somebody can say is no, and a no won't kill me, so like, might as well try, right? And I think it's like, I don't want to ever live my life without regrets. I don't want to look back and be like, oh, I should have said this to that person, or I should have tried this opportunity, you know what I mean? So I think it's like really living in the moment, really taking that risk, and you never know what good will come out of it, right? So my mom, she's definitely a role model for me. I love her.
For sure. Shout out mom.
I'm gonna send her the clip from this part too later.
100%. She's so cool. Like, I remember when we met on the boat, and like, yeah, just her personality, her energy, it's really good. Yeah,
she's bubbly.
What advice do you have for young women and young women of color that are considering like a similar path to you that might be different from like advice that other people would give to just anyone?
Don't be afraid to take up space, especially in predominantly white institutions. I feel like I'm an equity ambassador for Queens, for context. So I'm always giving talks about to minority youth and first generation youth about Queens and what the experience is like there. And I get a lot of questions about why should I come here? Like, isn't it predominantly white? Whatever, whatever. And my biggest response is that we can't be afraid to take up space. Otherwise, it'll never change. Mm-hmm. If everybody that's ever been Black and attended a school has operated under the principle of, oh, there's nobody there, I won't go, we would literally not be anywhere. So at a certain point in time, you can't let that be the reason you don't take an opportunity. Let that be the reason you don't try something. You can't be afraid to be one of the only one in spaces that you're in. Otherwise, it'll never change. So don't be afraid to take up space. Don't be afraid to make that move. And take up space, but also, like, again, find people that will support you in taking up space. So you have that background support as well.
Be the change.
Mm-hmm. Be the change you want to see.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Are there any lessons or experiences you learned from Queens culture that you mm-hmm. think St. Mike's students might benefit from?
Ooh, that's a good question. Oh my, that's a really good question. Lessons I've learned from Queens culture. I want to say try everything is the biggest thing. I feel like a lot. Okay, for context, in high school, my mom made me join my school's robotics team. Did I want to join? No. Did she make me? Yes. Black moms. So I joined. I stayed on it throughout all 4 years of high school, gig of the century. And then when I got to university, it actually helped me get my first research position, which I have been working with the same PI every year since first year. Mm-hmm. So try everything, even if you're not sure if you'll like it. And honestly, don't be afraid to talk to people. I feel like so often we're scared to talk to people because we're like, oh my gosh, what are they going to think if I say this or if I do this? Or, you know, I think we care too much about what people think. So talk to people, network. I think your network is part of your net worth. So it's really important that you are talking to people and that you are stepping outside of your bubble and your comfort zone.
That's a bar. You don't have to, like, don't act like you didn't just set that up.
What do you mean?
Your network is your net worth. I think episode title is
network is your net worth.
I thought I was good with the wordplay. Like, for context, like, all of the episode titles up until now, I've been like doing my little like.
Oh, excuse me.
But no, that was good. That was good.
If you use it, make sure to put credits to Dream.
Credit Dream.
Yes.
I forgot what my next question was. What excites you most about the future of medicine and your role in it? And then maybe like a little bit about what research and experiences you've been part of so far and what you kind of like want to be a part of.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. What excites me? It's growing. It's ever growing. I'm so interested in, so for background, part of my research has been in AI and the use of AI and mass spectrometry, which is like collecting molecules from tissue samples, basically. So it's been the use of AI to analyze cancer tissue samples, for example. So I think what's really interesting to me is the way that we can use AI to improve medicine so much and how quickly that's growing. Because a few years ago, like, mass spec wasn't really popular, wasn't a thing. Now it's like we're actively doing research on it, right? So I think it's just always interesting to me to see how the growth of technology also facilitates the growth of medicine. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of like past experiences, I've done research in laparoscopic surgeon, hepatobiliary is the proper term, surgeon. I've done research with health equity research. So there's a project at Queens called the Space Project, which is social prescribing. Mm-hmm. And basically what that is it's just looking at different resources that are available in the community in Kingston and then figuring out how we can better facilitate connections between Kingston individuals who need it and the facilities, whether that means coordinating with them to make lower prices, more accessible, all that stuff. Then I'm also doing some plastic surgery research projects right now, both based in health equity aspects and in actual operative aspects as well. And then I'm also going to start working on some more health equity projects and analyzing pain perception, actually. Ooh. In organ donation.
Very cool. Yeah. I know the statistics portion of some of the equity projects is like a bit like, but
yeah,
but yeah. And that's why I saw the hesitation in your face. But like, it's amazing work, and it's work that like, if we don't do it, who's gonna do it? Type of
exactly.
thing. So I really appreciate that. And then also, as part of a pain study, and so just like, make sure to take care of your pain subjects. That was
got you. That was a lot. Got you. We will.
Yeah, it's also good work. I want to preface. But like, it's a lot.
You said, let me just make sure I made that clear.
Yeah. I made more than $20. That's all I'm going to say.
Hey. It counts. $20 still counts. $20
counts. I guess if you could give Little Dream like one piece of advice, what would it be?
Like you
got 5 minutes and then the time machine is going to kick you back.
Oh my gosh. That's actually so funny that you just asked that. So I say that's funny because, A, I think a lot about how little Dream would be reacting to see me now, like, actually doing the things that I dreamed about. And B, I was literally just visiting my elementary school, like, 2 days ago and seeing my old teachers and everything. It was just so surreal. But I think little Dream, the world, I think in my mind back then, the world was definitely my oyster, because that's just the beliefs that I'd been raised by both my parents to believe. So I think I would just reinforce the little dream that you really can do anything you put your mind to. You can 100% do it. It'll take work. 110%. It will take work. Like, my nail business is a prime example of that. It will take work. But you will get there eventually. And to just be, enjoy the process. Be content with the steps. Don't be in a rush to just get to the end point. Really make sure that you're enjoying it as you go. And it'll work out. Like, no, don't worry.
Be kind to yourself. We've been trying to say that the entirety of this podcast is, like, that's like a main theme, is that like, it'll work out.
Yes, be so kind to yourself, guys. It's important. Like, give yourself grace. Like, you're still growing. You're still human. Give yourself the room to grow, you know?
100%. And kind of on that topic, and this is my last question, so we're going to, like, wrap it up a little bit. What are your go-to activities to, like, unwind? I know you said dance is your peace.
Mm-hmm. Dance brings me a lot of peace. Reading. I love reading. I also love writing. I used to have a blog. Mm-hmm. So writing is also a thing for me. Reading my Bible. Oh my gosh, that brings me a lot of peace. Bible study. Hanging out with my friends is also really important to me. Just making sure, even if, like, it could even just be us studying together, that will also bring me peace, just having that support. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it'll just be us sitting around kikiing late at night. We should be probably doing work, but, like, kikiing. Talking to my parents is also really helpful. And sometimes just going for walks around campus. Like, Queens is a beautiful campus as well. U of T is gorgeous too, but Queens is also a really beautiful campus, and we're right by the water. So walking around campus is great. Going to the gym is great. I love a good workout. A little bit of everything, guys. Mm. The point here is a little bit of everything, you know? It's not one size fits all. It really depends on what my mood is. But I think a lot of things bring me peace. So I really just try to focus on that stuff.
For sure. You have to be a whole person. And, like, nobody is one-dimensional. Like, you might need different things at different times. Dance might be your outlet one day, and, like, the next moment you just need to be, like, in your room alone. Like,
exactly.
You have to give yourself the space and, like, to identify that.
Mm-hmm.
It's really adult. It's like, it feels like adulting. Like,
we're getting old. Yeah. We're adulting. Yep, we definitely are. I know. I started seeing, like, remakes of the childhood TV shows we used to watch. No. And I was like, oh,
it's my time.
It's my time. Like, okay.
Master Oogway, where he, like, exactly, turns into petals.
Yeah, like, calm down. I'm not that old yet.
Yeah. How to Train Your Dragon is an amazing movie, though. I hope they do it.
It's gonna be so good.
I hope it's good.
I want to see the live action so bad.
100%. We should go.
No, we should. We should, really, truly.
I'm gonna, like, make the trip to Queens.
As you should.
Because I haven't seen most of you guys in, like, so long.
This is what I'm saying. Like, might as well come down for a weekend and enjoy. There's things to do. We have a good time.
There's always something. Like, I always see something going on.
Because there is. Like, every weekend. Like, this weekend there's something. Next weekend there's something. After that, probably it's exam time, so buckle down.
Yeah, people are gonna like that.
So if you want to come this weekend,
we do need to.
Yeah, we need to actually, like, be in the library.
In the books. Yeah, for sure. I wanted to plug your podcast because even though it is old, it's still very good and very relevant. And, like, even some of the stuff that you were talking about was, like, pre-COVID, like, body positivity, that type of thing. It's, like, amazing resource, obviously not medical advice, but, like,
absolutely not medical advice,
but, like, a very healthy conversation. And just dialogue is important. Most of the time we don't get to sit face to face and, like, talk to people about these type of issues, and you, like, put in the time, like, so far ahead to, like, do that, and that's important. So, like, if you want to plug the podcast and where else we can hear more from you, and I guess people can shoot you questions if they have any.
Yeah, sure. So the podcast is called The Backstage Talk. It's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and a few other platforms. But if you search up The Backstage Talk and put my name, it should pop up. So. So yeah.
I usually say non-sponsored, but it is non-sponsored. But, like, you should really go look at this. And then Nails by Dream.
N-A-I-L-Z by Dream on Instagram.
Coming soon to Toronto. Maybe.
Hey. Watch.
Yeah, for sure. What are your plans for the break?
Oh my gosh. That's a take a break. Sleep.
I'm right there with you.
Like, that's what I'm going to be doing. I was just having this conversation with my mom. She's like, what do you want to do? Absolutely nothing. Don't bother me. Like, I don't want to get no email being like, Dream, this project. Nah, bro. I'm on break.
Thank you.
Thank you, but no. Yeah. Come back in January.
100%. I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure. Sleep.
Just being bored for once. Please.
Bored. Absolute boredom. See people still, of course. But like, boredom. Mm-hmm. Otherwise. Like, I want to lie on my bed, look at the sky, and have no academic stress. Like, just lie there.
Boom.
That's all I want.
Thank you so much. I don't know what time it is.
Oh, I have nothing.
Perfect. We wrapped it up just in time.
Nice. Look at us. Look at us. Hey, you got it.
If you're on the audio side of this, you didn't get that.
No, you did not.
You should go watch the YouTube video. Sorry.
I apologize. But if you come to Queens, you'll get it.
Exactly.
It's all we do.
Have an amazing day. Be kind to yourself. And thank you for watching this episode.